The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. I'm always somewhat surprised, at least, by just how terse St. Mark's account of Jesus in the wilderness is. It's really a signal event in Jesus' life, and it's somewhat shocking to see that it only gets one line, really, or really half a verse in his gospel. But I think that's for one good reason, and that's because I believe that St. Mark assumes that we are already familiar with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, so that he doesn't have to repeat it in, say, the same detail that we find in the other Gospels. I think it's something of, we work at something of a deficit here, and not just from the point of view of preaching, having something to say about it, but also just our own Lenten experience and understanding what Jesus' time in the wilderness would have been. I know that you received probably the letter. I think you probably received the letter that I sent with a little bit of an exhortation or encouragement to take fasting seriously this Lent. And perhaps we already have enough experience, whether or not you've taken me up on the offer, we already have enough experience on our penitential days, our serious penitential days, of knowing the experience of a fast. Right, what is it like that Ash Wednesday? Right, what is it like in the morning as you wake up and realize, not every desire that you have, even the good ones, can be satisfied that day? Right, what is it to? I mean, you hear so often of people who say that their first thoughts on waking up on, say, Ash Wednesday or one of the Fridays through Lent, is start dreaming of a big steak or a hamburger or something. You know, it's like, it never happens. It doesn't happen any other day, but the one day that you're committed to it, it's the one day that it's on your mind. And this is, I think that's a significant reality. When we think of Jesus, this is what I say, half a verse to say, Jesus is in the wilderness, he's in the desert, 40 days. What is in the desert? Nothing. Bare nothing, right? Bare nothing. There's nothing there. And we can think then, no matter what desires would have welled up within Jesus, day one, day two, day three, and so on and so forth, how much rejection there is there, right? How much for him there is. It's not as though Jesus is building up self-control. Right, it's that these passions, desires, many of them are legitimate, bubble up within us and would have bubbled up within him as he was faced with the nothingness, the inability of the desert to satisfy. Now, when we look at that barren landscape, okay, we're perhaps missing what I'd say is the most important part of our Lenten and penitential journey, because actually a couple verses previous in the Gospel of Mark, we hear about the baptism of Jesus. And what do we hear in the baptism? Jesus is anointed by the Spirit. He's marked out as God's anointed king. And he hears the words from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And then, boom, we're off to a running start. Now we're off in the desert. Now we're coming back and we hear the message of repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what's going on here? Just to kind of balance it out for ourselves, because I think that we're probably drawn to the desert this year. And now look, you may not be drawn. I'm not drawn to the desert this year, but I realize that I'm in the desert. I'm in the desert this year, right? So it doesn't, drawn or not, we're stuck there. And Jesus is showing us the way that we're to encounter it. Maybe you're drawn to it. Maybe you're ready to embrace the penitential season as the life-giving and life-affirming and love-enabling reality that is on offer to us there. But maybe you're just in the desert. Jesus has something for all of us today. So what is it then? When Jesus is marked out by as God's anointed king, he's claimed as his beloved son. I want you to hear that. Perhaps not in my voice, but in yours. So what am I saying? We have to internalize the voice of God claiming us as his beloved children. So he says to you, you are my dear, dear child. I delight in you. Now I hear that, of course, I hear that in my voice, and it overcomes some of the negative self-talk that I've gotten into in my life. And it's healing, it's restorative to hear it. I don't know what voice you need to hear it in, mine or yours or someone else's, whatever. But you need to make that your own. You are my dear, dear child. You are my beloved child. I delight in you. With you, I'm well pleased. When Jesus hears the words of the Father, what temptation can he not withstand? He has everything he wants. He has the affirmation of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, marked out there as the Messiah, finds himself at the head of God's people. And we're included there. So as he makes his way, we're coming along with him. And we have to see that. And just as he is the Father's only begotten and beloved Son, we are made to be sons and daughters in the Son. We have the life of Christ at work in us and working through us. We've been claimed by God our Father by virtue of our baptism. So we have to hear those words at the beginning of any Lenten desert journey. We have to hear those words. You are my dear, dear child. I delight in you. And then what do we see? Yeah, Jesus goes into the desert. He's there for 40 days. And what's happening? Every perceivable attack on his identity is coming at him. It's coming at him from within and from without. And he's defeating all of them by his perseverance, by his suffering love. He's making his way as God's beloved Son. And he's in that beginning there, in that crucial beginning of his public career. He's rejecting every other way to go about life. He's rejecting, of course, money, power, pleasure. He's rejecting all the vain pursuits that we still struggle to put to death. He's rejecting. But he can only reject them because he is actively choosing the better way. He's choosing the way of self-gift. Right? So everything's coming at him to say, you know what? We can do this better. This could feel better. This experience could be better. And every way is a dead-end street. And in himself, he kills it off. In himself, he shuts it down. And walks the one way that leads to life. And that's the way of love. And giving himself over to God, his Father, every step of the way, he's made ready to give his life for the good of the world, for the sake of God's beloved creation. And then he comes out of the desert, right? It's like comes out of the desert with a bang. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand because his king is in your midst. And his king has taken his place at the head of his people. And he's ready to lead you into life. So reject all the allures of the world and all its passing pleasures. And go all in on God. with me, right? With Jesus. And there we will find life and life to the full. My friends, that's our Lenten journey. It's the life-giving, love-enabling reality that God wants it to be. And here at this altar, time and time again, at this altar, we give ourselves over to God and his purposes, so that receiving the life of his only begotten Son and being his dear, dear children, we can live bringing his love to life in the world.